Blog Talk Radio.
Susie, I've been a man on the run. Ain't no stranger to a lawman's gun. A troubadour born out of time. I got an old six string and a brand new song. And two good thumbs to help me along. And a girl like nobody told you just what it could be. Well, being lost is what it means. Now come on now, Susie, let down your hair. I don't know this city, but we'll go somewhere. Trouble times seem to follow you these days. I got wine in a jar, sweet by the tears. My daddy's guitar to roll back the years. Some old just songs and baby, nothing but time. It's been a friend of mine. When I'm Susie, we know I'm just passing through. This rock and roll gig wasn't made for two. You had your kids right out of school, and I'm still playing in these dives. Remember Friday night, the swinging doors. You tend those tables, I'll sweep them floors. Spin that old jukebox like record stores. Cause we were five and dime. And now you say it's changed, whatever it is. You say it's different, but you'd rather pretend. But hell, I say it is what it is. Now come on now, Susie, let down your hair. I don't know.
Special guests on the show tonight. We have Micah and Andy Lathrop. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, John.
It's great to have you guys on. I'm doing really good. I appreciate you guys taking your time to be on the show tonight. I was just thinking, we're almost, this is getting close to November. I started this show in November of 2008, and so we're about at our 7th year anniversary, going into our 8th year. And during that time, the whole idea behind the show was to talk to independent musicians and to play their music and to get people a platform. There's so much good music out there. The music industry is a little tricky, and it can be hard to navigate at times. But I think what happened with online radio and with different shows like that, that we were able to talk to a whole lot of people, done hundreds of interviews, and been able to bring music to I think an audience that sometimes guys don't really appreciate or know what's going on outside of the music they hear on mainstream radio. So welcome to be a part of this, and now you're in the archives of John Talk Radio, and this will be great. So this is really awesome. So let's start off. One of the things I like to do when we do these shows is that people listen. Most of the listeners are they hit the podcast after the show, and you know it's kind of cool because people can listen to it at their own convenience, and I think that's really a good thing. I want them to know about you guys, and Micah and Andy, and I want them to know about, you know, the person, because I found out that by doing these interviews that the more they know about the individuals and the people behind the music, the more they can relate to the music, because it just opens it up, because you hear a song and then you can hear the person that wrote the song talk about the song, and then it just kind of opens a door to the song, and then you get to care about the people, and it's a really cool thing. So let's start off with Micah, and how did you get started in music? I mean, were you in a musical family, and talk about how when you grew up and what part music had in your life.
Yeah, I was in a musical family. My dad, I grew up with him playing in church, and all of my uncles played, and my mom even sang, and she played the piano. And so I grew up in South Carolina around a lot of gospel and old bluegrass, and really that was the first stuff that I learned, was kind of the bluegrass picking. And then as I got older, of course, I got more into some rock and roll and some music like that. But yeah, most of my upbringing was, I was just surrounded by music all the time, so it was really pretty easy and natural for me to pick up and start playing.
Now, how old were you, Micah, when you started playing in front of people?
I was probably 15, 16 years old whenever I started playing actually out in front of people and singing.
Has it always been comfortable to do that?
Oh no, they used to have to watch me before the shows because I would disappear. I would actually leave. So the band, the drummer would have to sit with me because I would leave. Yeah, so they didn't like that.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. You know, it's something that, you know, I've talked to people before about it, you know, whether people feel comfortable in front of crowds and singing. And how about you, Andy? How did things start off with you?
Very, very, very different. I've never had really any aspirations to be a musician at all. I mean, other than what every kid dreams of as far as I'm going to be a star one day. But I never chased it or anything like that. I only started doing music when Micah and I got together. And he'd already been writing songs and then playing drums and playing guitar and singing and everything. And he taught me how to play the drums. I started singing with him at live shows. We started writing together. It just kind of fell into place. It was really not planned. I have never had a big passion like, oh, God, I want to be a musician, you know. But what we do is really important to me. Like, I don't want to just be a musician. I really, really love what we do, and we've written tons and tons of songs together, and we play out all the time. So now it's my passion now, but I really, it's not to be a musician. It's to play our music, more or less. So it's new for me. Just the past few years I've been in doing this with him.
Now, how comfortable are you, Andy, with playing in front of people? And we're going to talk about the songwriting, because that's a whole nother topic of conversation. But it's also interesting to me. I mean, I can look back at my when I grew up and I played in bands and sang in the choir and all kinds of stuff, and I really wasn't any good, but nothing stopped me. I mean, I it didn't matter. I would just get up in front of people and sing and just have a good time, and I thought, hey, if they like it, that's fine. If they don't, that's fine. And
there you go.
And it never really bothered me too much. I remember the time where it was like Christmas, and I think I was in middle school, and I had my first solo in the choir, and I didn't tell anybody because I didn't want anybody to come. So I didn't tell my parents or anyone. I just like stood in the back, went up front, sang, went in the back, and then my neighbor said, "Hey, you know, John sang a solo today." And my mom's like, "What?" Yeah, but I think I sang really bad, so it was probably a good thing. But I actually loved it so much that it didn't really it didn't matter to me what people thought, because that's what I wanted to do, and I felt great doing it. And I think that it's as a couple, when you guys start sharing your music, I mean, is that something that's it's some, you know, it's hard to describe that, because you know you can you know, have your what you believe in and all this stuff, but when you start writing music and you know your life is just out there. Talk about, I think that's one of the coolest things about singer-songwriters is how that they can capture, you know, parts of their life and kind of chronicle it as they go on. Now, Michael, when did you start writing music?
My very first song, it was the day after Christmas whenever I was 15. That was actually my parents had separated on Christmas, which was weird. So the next day I wrote my very first song, and the reason I just did it out of just something to do, and everyone was like, they, you know, like my dad's like, "You didn't write that song, you know," and stuff, because he thought it was so good, but then he couldn't find it anywhere, so he kind of believed I wrote it. So that, it was like, and then when I was like, "Well, if you thought I was lying, then maybe I need to keep writing." So
that's motivation there. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Thank God for separation.
Well, you know, it's weird how, and I think it's a really good topic to talk about, because I've through art, you know, and through people being able to create things, it can be a release through stressful times.
And, oh yeah.
Oh yeah, and you go through these things, and sometimes people, you know, guys don't have that outlet. They don't know how to do that. But people that have, like, you know, are gifted and can sing and can write music and can express that, there's a lot there that they can kind of contribute to getting through those times. Did you find that as being true, Micah?
Yeah, well, at the time, it was just something that everyone was so impressed with that I was just like, all right, I'm going to keep doing it. And at that point, honestly, all I'd heard up to that point was Christian music, and I wrote a song about a guy leaving a girl, and after that, it was kind of like, well, I'm going to keep writing, and then I started listening to actual music, and then later on, looking back, I could really see where that got me through, but at the time, I just thought I was doing something fun, but later, it was like, wow, I was singing about my life at the time.
Yeah. Do you remember that song, that first song?
Oh, yeah, it was called Traveling Man.
And have you ever used that in any of your shows or anything?
I haven't played it in a few years, but we down south, me and my dad was in a band together, and we actually played that song out a lot. And it was it's still, for being 16, a good song. But I haven't played it in a few years, because we write so much, it's hard to keep up with what we wrote like a year ago now. You know.
So. Yeah, what was it like playing with your dad? Because that's one thing that, you know, through listening to a lot of music, sometimes, it's not always, but sometimes I can tell if people are related because of the harmonies and how close they are. It's almost like the same person singing, you know, and they know when to stop, they know when to breathe. It's just crazy. I mean, I've heard people sing, and I thought, how do they do that? And it's just a part of them being in the same, you know, being close, and if you're related to someone. Well, you were talking about bluegrass music and gospel music, and I've heard bands, you know, that were very fundamental. There wasn't much there, but just the singing and the harmonies were enough to give you goosebumps because of that. What was it like playing with your dad? And I don't know if you still do, but, I mean, that's got to be a pretty special thing.
Yeah, it was. We got started off where once he figured out that I wanted to play music, Dad is just a crazy good musician. So we got together, and we couldn't find a drummer, so I ended up becoming the drummer and lead singing. And then he played guitar, and we ended up being a two-man band for about, it was probably about 8 years we played together. We practiced four nights a week, and then we play out two, three nights a week. And we did that for until we moved up to Ohio, and even now he comes up and plays with us sometimes. So, yeah, it was very special. I learned a lot from him, and really he learned a lot because he was able to get back to his roots. Of course, my dad's a big Bob Seger, Lynyrd Skynyrd guy. So we did a lot of that stuff, and then we got into playing originals. But, yeah, it was a very special time to be able to share that with him.
Now, Andy, what's it like on your with your perspective playing with Micah? I mean, do you think that it would have been, if it wasn't for feeling comfortable with him and knowing that you could, you know, learn as you went along with Micah and he wasn't going to, you know, he was just going to help you along. Sometimes when, and I know this from experience, it's not with everyone, but some bands can be kind of hard. You get in bands and it can be competitive and people can be critical. And what's it like playing with Micah?
It's awesome. It is absolutely awesome.
I paid her to say that.
Yeah. No, it really is, but it's an extension of our marriage because we do get along really, really well, just in life in general. So there's probably very few people I can be in a band with, and that actually is probably why we've gone through a few people that have played with us and no longer do, but we get along really well. He is supportive. When we first started out, I, of course, made him very nervous because he's really wants his, you know, these songs to be perfect. And I was new at it, so I had my shaky moments, and he'd give me the evil eye on stage, and we had conversations about, don't you ever do that, because I'll stop in the middle of the song, and I'll tell you what I think about you. And, you know, so we're way past that, thank God. But, yeah, he's like, I wasn't aware I gave you the evil eye. I'm like, yeah. So, but everything's great. I mean, we know each other so well, too, that it is, as time goes on, you just kind of, like, even when he says the wrong lyrics, which he, being the professional he is, he still does once in a while. And I play right along, and I don't make a scene, and, you know.
Yeah, my dad told me, I said, I want to be a pro. And he said, if you want to be a professional, mess up on stage, don't let anybody know it.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
okay.
That's funny. Yeah, it's like with words, the songs. I've heard guys where, you know, people like McCartney and some of these great artists have been doing their songs forever and ever. They forget their songs. They wrote the songs and they forget the words. And I think that's funny that they hadn't played it in a while. But to me, it's real interesting how you guys are, you know, together in this and sharing your music. And do you think that and in the last couple of shows I've been doing, we've been talking about this, the power of creativity and creating music. And it makes you, when you do that, you create your own songs, you create that's yours. It just makes you feel good to do that. Now, when you guys, like if you write a song and what percentage of them right now, guys, are you collaborating on? Or are you, like Micah said, here's a song, or Andy, this is a song. Do you guys, how do you do that with the songwriting style right now, that you're going to take your ideas and put it together and come to something you can play live or record?
I got to do everything, I swear. No, just kidding. I would say 90% of the time, Micah comes at me with a line, a thought, at the beginning of a song or the chorus or whatever. And he grabs the guitar and he sits down, he starts playing with it, and we both kind of start chiming in. We start, you know, creating a melody together. You know, I might have a few good lines. He might have a few good lines. I mean, whatever. It's kind of back and forth. But definitely say Mike has always been more of the main songwriter. When we've done somewhere, it's probably equal, but the majority of the time he's the creative seed, and I feed off of him, because once he starts, I don't start building a song like he does. He starts building something, and then I jump on board, and it just goes from there, and it works out really, really great, because having two people who think they're great songwriters is a challenge, because you're going to butt heads, like, all the time, but he's more of the person that I'm trying to conform to and create with, so I get that, and it works great. I mean, it has both of us thinking and being part of it, but that's kind of what we do. Just once in a while, one day we'll write two songs in a week, and then sometimes we'll go a month or so without writing anything. So it just kind of depends on the line that pops in our heads, I guess.
Yeah, how do you explain that? Because that's also very interesting, how you could probably have maybe two or three songs going in your head at once, and then all of a sudden it's just dry. There's nothing. You sit down at the guitar and you think, I have nothing. And you put the guitar away. And I've talked to guys that have – I talked to this one guy who's an amazing musician. And he got in some type of – I think it was relationship issues. And he just quit playing music because he just didn't feel like it. He just – I mean, it was something he didn't want to do anymore. And he put the guitar down for like 30 years and never even thought about it. And then picked it up again, and when his life started, you know, he just felt more rhythm, and he started writing music again. Do you feel that way? I mean, is there, like, Micah, could you sit down, like, right now and write a song, or is it, like, something more or less where it's got to come to you, and you've got to be inspired, or maybe you hear, another lick or something like that? How does the whole process start for you?
Different ways. Sometimes, here lately, I've been able to write pretty easily, but I'll go through periods, sometimes 2 months, it feels like, where I can't write anything. And sometimes it'll start with a lyric, sometimes it'll start with a riff, or it's just a lot of different ways. And sometimes, like you said, I could have three different songs and then put them together and make one, you know. So it's really weird, because sometimes I can't write anything, and then sometimes I can just write, you know, just all the time, and then I don't know. It's crazy how the mind works, you know.
And that used to bother him quite a bit when he'd feel like, oh, it's been a month. I haven't written anything. I'm never going to write again. And he gets stressed out about it. And that we've overcome that hurdle, too, because it's like we figure out, like, so many other things to do when that dry month comes along or whatever. We got other hobbies. We've got other things to think about. And then, boom, one day he comes and goes, listen to this one. And it just pours out. So it's not a stress, and it's not a forced thing in the least.
Yeah, that's a pretty interesting thing, too, because you don't know where it really comes from. But I quote this on the show several times. There's a band called Wilco, and the main songwriter in Wilco is Jeff Tweedy. And he is an amazing songwriter. I listen to his stuff, and I think, I don't know where it comes from. It's really intense. It's like a mixture. It's got alternate country. It's got rock. It's got jazz. It's just all kinds of stuff. And I heard him interviewed, and they asked him that. They said, well, where does this come from? Because some people I've interviewed said, well, you know, the songs are like floating around in the universe, and they'll just land on you, and they'll like choose you, and bam, there's a song. Well, Jeff said what he thinks happens, and tell me what you guys think of this. I think it's a pretty good explanation of it. He said, you do your work. You work hard. You learn your instruments. You learn how to sing. You learn how to do all the things. You put in the work. You listen to a lot of music, and you store all that up in your mind and in your memory. And then that's kind of in your subconscious. And then it'll all come out. And you don't know when it's going to come out, but it will just reveal itself. And I thought, you know, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good explanation of the creative part of songwriting, because I just not too long ago I talked to a couple. Well, there's been people that I followed that have lived in certain places, and they said, I'm going to be a music star. And, you know, one guy moved from Michigan to Nashville to be a star, and that didn't work out too well. And another guy, it's really good. He went to Nashville to become a songwriter, and he was, you know, signed with the publishing company, and you know, at 8 o'clock in the morning, he would go to his office and start writing songs. And they would say, "Oh, we need you to write a song about, you know, a dog and a gun and a," and he would just, you know, start writing. What do you guys think of that? I mean, could you do that, Micah? Do you think that you would just like go to an office and sit down? And they'd say, "Well, you know, we need two songs today, Micah, and this one's going to be about a broken heart." And I couldn't do that if I had to.
Yeah, that would be pressure. I mean, it's one of them things. It's like what was the singer's name?
Wilco.
Jeff.
But it's like it's kind of like that where I used to train whenever I was younger, like boxing and stuff like that. And I found this. My coach said something that applies with music and writing, where he says the harder and the more you train, the luckier you're going to get. And it's like, because people think it's luck, you know, and it's like even with songwriting, the more you write, the more you take in, like he said, the luckier you seem to get. But it's really just constant, you know, it's like you're filling yourself up with stuff and it's going to come out in some way. And I hope after all these years of writing that I would be able to.
It may not be good. No.
When I talked to these guys, I said, "Well, what was it like?" And one guy, I have to think of his name, he's still doing it, and he says, "It's great. It's the best job you can ever have." He said, "They just tell you, you know, basically, okay, I need you to write." They'll give them the artist name, and this is the person you're writing for, and this is the kind of song they're looking for. And he did really well. And then I've also talked to people that would think, "There's no way I could do that. I can't even," you know, think about in our process to create on demand like that. That's what I think would be difficult. Well, my guest tonight is Micah and Andy Lathrop, and they're from the band Grapefruit Moon. And guys, is there any? Do you have any of your music available right now? If the listening audience would like to listen to it or get a hold of it.
Well, we do have CDs, but usually we take them with us to our shows, and we're gonna start having them more available on internet and things like that, but right now we just kind of take them with us.
Where's your next shows? I mean, this might be a good time to talk about some of the things you got going on, any projects or gigs or anything like that.
Well, other than our show tonight, which is here with you, Saturday we are playing at a winery, and it's the grand opening. It's called Blend of Seven. And they are doing a kind of grand reopening. They changed locations to this really big, beautiful log-looking home in Delaware, and we're part of that event. There's live music from 12 to 10 o'clock at night, and we have like the 3:30 to 5:30 slot. So that's our next gig for sure. We usually play most every weekend. It gets a little bit slower, though, during the holidays, so it's probably going to slow down for December and January. So, but you can get our schedule like on our website, which is actually MicahLathrop.com, or you can find us on Facebook as Grapefruit Moon. We'll have all our dates.
And this Saturday is going to be at what winery?
It's called Blend of Seven.
It's in Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
That would be great. I don't think I could make it, but I definitely want to come hear you guys. And just for the listeners, I met Micah and Andy at the Madison County Fair, and you guys were playing that night. I didn't get a chance to hear you then either, but it was one of those things where I think it's great when you meet people and you can just think, you know, this is awesome. We can have you on the show. We can, you know, get your music on there, and I just wish you guys the best. I think you're very talented, and we'll talk about the music industry a little bit after we come back, but let's play another song. Now, we started off the show with Susie. Would you like to talk a little bit about that, Micah? You wrote that?
I remember writing it kind of in my I wish I was Jackson Brown phase, you know? And I'm like, because I listened to some of his stuff, and it seems like he just, it seems like some of his songs are just a really long conversation. And so I was like, I wonder if I could do that. So I don't know if I did that, but that's kind of what Susie came out of. And because I always like the old songs, they always put a name in there, like you would know who the person is or something, but it makes it more personal.
Yeah.
And it just it was actually a really easy song once I sat down and wrote it. So yeah, that's kind of what that one came out of. It was just I wonder if I could write like that. So it's up to you if I did, though.
Oh, it's a really good song. I the first time I heard it, it just, you know, it's funny with me. I hear a lot of music and I listen to a lot of it, and I listen to all different styles of music. I don't really have any one particular type that I like more than the other. I'll get into, you know, alternate country. I like that a lot, and alternate rock and things like that. But yeah, guys are really talented, and I wish you the best. Now, let's play. You're welcome. Let's play My Sweet Friend. Do you want to talk about that one before we play it?
That was one that kind of happened on its own. I wasn't even trying to write. I was actually at work one day, and the idea kind of hit me. The first few lines hit me, and then I was like, well, where can I go with these lines? And then I got to thinking about, you know, kind of like a love and loss that didn't work out, but it's like, you know, you still want to have a relationship with that person as a friend, even though the relationship part didn't work out. So that's kind of what the song was like. You know how when people break up, some of them become enemies. And it's like, you know, that's kind of the idea. It's like, well, we were friends before we dated, so now can I have my friend back kind of idea? And then it just kind of turned into that idea. It was really just I came up with some lines, and I'm like, oh, crap, now what do I do? It's like I got to come up with something good because these lines are good. So.
And this is My Sweet Friend. This is Grapefruit Moon. You're listening to Independent Music Showcase, and we'll be right back with the interview with Andy and Micah right after this.
What if I'm sorry? What's the best I could do? And goodbye was all we had to look forward to. And the nighttime feels like it never ends. But you can call me, oh, call me my sweet friend. And lay down your goodbyes. You don't need them tonight. Oh, and forgiveness never makes it alright. And no matter what you say, we can't go back again. But I wish you'd call me, just to call me, my sweet friend. Midnight, and the same wheels turn. Through the desert, and the same fires burn. And the motels keep the road right at my door. And the guitars keep my fingers sore. So lay down your goodbyes. We don't need them tonight. Forgiveness, it never makes it all right. And no matter what you say, we can't go back again. just to call me my sweet friend. Oh, girl, I wish you'd call me just to call me my sweet friend.
I want to welcome everyone back to Independent Music Showcase tonight. My guest is Andy and Micah from Grapefruit Moon. That's a really beautiful song, Micah. Good job on that.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, it's good. So what I want to talk about next is something that's interesting to me as far as independent musicians. Now, I know you guys, you know, are looking at the future, and how do you look at that? What's your plan for you guys as musicians, and as what you would like to accomplish in the next 5 years, and what would define success for Grapefruit Moon?
Doing music full time would be a big goal. We would love to be able to do that. We both have jobs that we really do like. I'll give a shout out because my boss said she would listen. So, yay, Castle Property Management. And then Micah works at ProBuild. So, well, I'm just doing a shout out. They're supposed to be listening. So, anyway, but we do appreciate our jobs and we like our jobs. But it would be absolutely amazing to, you know, just do music full time. Right now, we are actually talking to a label in Nashville. So, we're going to be meeting them after the new year and sitting down and having a chat and seeing how that goes. We do know some musicians and some people in Nashville that we do have a relationship with. So we have some things kind of in the works, but you know how that goes. So we don't really make a big stink out of stuff until something really happens. But things are cooking. So hopefully it goes in that direction eventually.
Well, yeah, the best of luck for that. And just keep me updated on that, because I love to hear from musicians that go out and do it, because it's like, you know, like I was talking a little bit earlier, it's been probably a couple of years, and there's two artists that that have done that, and they've gone to Nashville, and I've kind of, actually it's more than that, there's three or four that I can think of that I've had on the shows and had them on several times, and who, you know, they've gone there. One guy was from Alaska, and he had a family meeting and said he wanted to go to Nashville, and they all said, let's go. And they sold everything, sold their house, sold everything they had, moved to Nashville, went down there, and actually he's doing pretty good. But it's what do you guys think of that? Like, he talks about the competition, you know, and like in an average normal town like he was from before, there would be you know, he would know the musicians and he would know different people that sang the kind of music he did. And when there was going to be like playing at clubs and stuff like that, or wherever he was playing, he would know them and they would know him. But in Nashville, and you know, it gets worse, I guess, if you get or more competitive and you go to bigger cities like, you know, Los Angeles and New York, with all the different people that are playing. And he was talking about that. He said, you know, you're just one person in maybe 5 or 6,000 that are trying to get a gig that night. What do you guys think about that? I mean, that's something that I think about would affect me. You know, I mean, you got to really have confidence in yourself, and I understand that. But also, it's a hard industry to break into.
It is, and I agree with you, and we've talked about that a million times, which is one reason that we haven't moved, in, you know, lately. We have a few things that kind of keep us around the area. So for right now, we're just working on writing a bunch of songs and playing out as much as we can and that sort of thing. And you know what, down the road, if we go to Nashville, at least we both know we tried. And it's probably going to happen in the future, but when we're ready. and the timing is right and everything. And we know that we've spent time in Nashville. We know the talent is outstanding. It's ridiculous. But the way we look at it, especially me, is you don't have to be the best to make it down there. You have to work hard, and you have to stay focused, and you have to love what you do and keep a good attitude, and then you can make it. I think we can probably agree that half the stuff on the radio today is not from people who are that talented. And they're there, so, you know, they did something right. Maybe they worked really, really hard. Maybe they had the right connections. But the radio is not full of people that are just the best of the best. It just isn't that way. It's so many other factors that I have faith in us. I think we would be fine and, you know, do a decent job, Micah. <I'm
talking to> I about fell asleep over here. She won't quit. I guess with the thing in Nashville with me, a lot of it is whenever I went out in Nashville before, the main thing that I saw people fail at was that they didn't learn about the business before they went out there. They just thought, I'm going to go out there and somebody's going to walk into a bar and somebody's going to sign me one night to a $1 million contract. And the thing is, you know, just like anything else you do, you have to really study it. And we've really studied the business. We've studied that, you know, a lot of gigs in Nashville don't pay. If you want to get paid, you go outside of Nashville, around Nashville. And, I mean, and a lot of it, too, it's like me and her are like, you know, if we did this, what we're doing right now the rest of our lives, we would be happy. But if we met the right people who believed in what we did and would push us with what we do, then that's great, too. But the bottom line is we're happy doing what we're doing. And if we get that opportunity, that's great, and I hope we do. But at the same time, I think you just got to love what you're doing. But at the same time, if you're going to push it, you got to understand it's 90% business. You know, I mean, music is a business. So like any other business, you have to learn everything about it if you want to be successful at it.
Oh, exactly. Especially Mike and Andy, if you're thinking of the investment part, if people are going to invest in you, invest in your music and invest in you know, you as a group, it is a business investment to them. That's all it is. And that's where it gets kind of weird with the music industry. I've been infatuated with it for years. I've talked to people, I've interviewed people that have had number one records, that have toured all over the place. And then, you know, when the records don't sell and when, you know, they're forgotten. And a lot of people, you know, like back in the 60s and 70s, it was kind of rough because a lot of these guys, like you're saying, Micah, didn't know anything about the business side of it. So they would get advances, yeah, and they didn't know they had to pay back the advances. Like they would, yeah, they'd get $50,000 and think they were rich. And then, you know, when they didn't re-sign their contract, they'd say, well, you know, you guys owe us $50,000. And they'd learn, you know, people have to learn that. So I think you guys are looking at it in the right perspective. It's one of those things where it is a business, but it's also, that's where it makes it so interesting to me. It is a business, but it's also a creative thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's something from the heart. And I think that that's where it's like, if you're really good, somebody's going to hear you. But sometimes, like with interviewing people that I've done, I've heard people that blow your mind, and they just, for whatever reason, they can't get into that big machine, you know, where they're going to be making any money at it. But I think that's one of the things. I mean, I've talked to people that don't care about that part. They just want to play music. I mean, you've got open mics that you can sign up for and play, and somebody hears you. Like you're saying, Michael, maybe someone will hear you. You never know. Now, one thing that's interesting to me, when you guys, you said you were going to, I think, Andy, you said you were going to talk to a record label. Walk us through that. I mean, how does that work? Because there are a lot of good labels out there now, and there's some that aren't so good. And like you were saying, Micah, about one of the big things that, you know, I've talked to musicians about is the pay-to-play thing, where, you know, folks think, oh, you're playing at the Hard Rock Cafe, or you're playing at all these places, and they think, well, that's great, But I've talked to musicians that have paid, you know, a lot of money to play in those places and not get anything back. So
yeah.
I'm not trying to paint a doom thing here. I'm just thinking, you know, when you look at that kind of stuff, how do you feel about that? And how do you know, like, how do you navigate that? Do you have like mentors or anybody that's helping you through that?
Well, honestly, a lot of it comes from Andrea does a lot of our booking and stuff, and she's really good at knowing the people to listen to. Like and so now we've gotten connections with like some pretty big name people, and so they're always there to like, you don't want to play here, you want to play here, you don't want to do this, and so we can a lot of them we can call and be like, what have you heard about this label? And a lot of it, you got to go on feeling. We've met with different labels, and we just haven't had good feelings about them. Like, we were like, you know, I feel like they want us to do something different than what we are. It's like they say, you're perfect, I love what you do. And then they say they want to change it, you know?
Yep.
So,
yeah.
It's a crazy business.
We've never done we've never paid somebody to let us play ever.
No.
We've heard of that. I get it, I guess, if you're going to be playing at some amazing place where you're getting a super amount of exposure,
yep.
Maybe, you know, I guess that might be to your benefit. We just haven't experienced it. We've been offered it, but we just haven't done that. So we've played for free, but everybody has to. You know, it's all about building a reputation. People want to see if you're a good business person too, not just, oh, can you carry a perfect tune, or they want to, are you going to be on time? Are you going to be nice to our customers? Are you going to be, you know, entertaining? They want to know all this about you. So sometimes they might be like, well, we'll just give you a little bit of money to try you out one time. And we think that's very fair if they don't know who we are. So we've done that. But usually it's paid. So, and as far as labels go, you got to do your homework.
There's
a billion of them. We talked to this particular label about a year ago through back and forth through some emails and stuff, and they were very interested in us, but we're up here in Columbus and everything, and they're in Nashville. And then through a strange connection through somebody that Micah works with now, that label owner is actually the guy's dad that Micah works with. So he said, you got to send a CD to my dad. He's going to love you. I think he'll sign you. So we got back in touch and realized it was the same guy that was already talking to us. So that's the one we'll be talking to next. Yeah. After the new year, we'll meet him in person. And we've just got to do your homework. There's a lot of people that are, they say their labels, what they are, is they're trying to sell you studio time.
Yeah.
And you have to pay for that, right?
Oh, yeah. A lot of people would say, oh, you're going to be a star, but we're going to need, you know, you got to pay all this money to go into a studio, and then you never hear from those people again. When the money runs out, they run out with it, you know?
Yeah,
they just sell studio time, and then we see that a lot. So it's just, you know, oh, my gosh, I got to get a good CD made for you so I can submit it to all these people, and all they were trying to do was just sell studio time, and that's it.
But the key is to the whole thing, guys, and I can really feel it by talking to you guys, is that you love what you do.
Yes.
Yep.
I believe you got to. I mean, to really go for it, you really need to love it, because it'll drive you crazy sometimes.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, you hear people say, you know, you get bit by the music bug, and I think that's really what happens. You can put your guitar down for a while, but you're going to pick it back up, and you're going to have that desire. And once you start playing for people, and like you guys are feeling, one of the things that I always ask people, what, you know, whether they've been playing for a year, whether they've been playing for 30 or 40 years, I ask the question, why do you do what you do? What do you think the number one reason is that people respond?
I think it's, I don't know what their answer would be. Well, a lot of people want to be famous, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't, I would guess people would say be famous.
Rich.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've talked to folks that have actually, you know, been pretty famous, and the number one reason that they do it is because of the reaction they get from their audience.
Yeah.
And do you guys like that? I mean, that's just got to be such a great feeling when you're playing and you see that you're connecting with people. And maybe people are talking, because in bars it's kind of rough because you're playing and there's people having a good time, right? And they're talking.
And
you're trying to think, hey, listen, you know, it took me a while to write this song. Listen to me. But I interviewed this one band in Cleveland once, and I asked them what, if they had any interesting stories about playing live. And they said they were playing at a happy hour once after work. And they just started playing, and this one lady got on the dance floor, and she had high heels on, and she had a couple of drinks, and she was really going after it, and her shoes flew off and hit the guitar player in the head. I don't
know
why. That was Andy. I don't know why that hit me is so funny, but it's like, you know, stories of the musicians. But,
You got to have some stories, you know.
We don't do a lot of bar type places because we're not really, as you can tell by our music, we're not like real big party music. We're not a cover band, obviously, either. So we do like to play at a lot of places that have what we call a listening crowd, and it's just a different crowd. It's people there usually to kind of pay attention and listen to your lyrics and interact with you. We interact a lot with our audience, and we joke with them, and Micah and I fight on stage just being stupid and laugh and everything, tell jokes, whatever. And
people love that we get up on stage and argue.
Yeah.
So we start doing it on purpose.
that's funny.
we love that listening crowd. You know, we play at restaurants, coffee shops or wineries and things like that. And that's our niche right there. So we don't do the... We're not background music too often. We're not just there for people to jam around to. Even though we were at a place that we play at once and we absolutely love called Taffy's Music Mecca. I don't know if you ever heard of that, but it's in Eaton, Ohio. They have great, great people there playing live music all the time, and they're awesome. They're just kind of far for us, or a couple hours away. But we played last weekend, and, you know, like I said, we are who we are, but we had some lady that was drinking so much that she was breaking it down.
She loved every song, and they were all about her.
Yeah, she was.
Oh, wow.
That was so we do sound even better when you're drinking, apparently.
I sound better when I'm drinking.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the things that people have to experience being a musician to know what it's like. Because if you go to hear a live band, and like, I love doing that. I it's my favorite thing. It's just going to hear live music. I could do it all the time. I could do it, you know, every day. And people go, you know, it doesn't matter who I'm going with, whether it's part of the family or some friends. And, you know, they'll say, oh, about this band or that band, oh, this, okay. And I want them to understand how it's just not that easy. You know, you just don't magically appear on the stage. It's not like that, you know. It's like there's a lot of work and what goes into it. And when you get on the stage and there's so many different things that can happen. I remember when I was younger and I played in bands on the west side of Columbus, which was a particular area, guys, wasn't the greatest. And the bar's still there to this day. And I was playing with this one band, and they asked me to play bass with them. And I said, sure, you know, I'll play. And I went in, and there were hubcaps nailed all over the wall, you know. And I thought, well, that's interesting. And the guy said, yeah, next time you come, yours will be up there. They would just go in the parking lot and take everybody's hubcaps off and nail them to the wall. So that's one of my West Side Bar stories guys, it's just been great talking to you guys. I really love your music, and I hope that when people listen to the interview, they get to know a little bit about Micah and Andy and really want to support you guys, and I hope the best. So it's
this
Saturday. You're playing at in Delaware, Ohio, and I wrote it down, but I forgot what it was. Blend of Seven?
Yes, Blend of Seven Winery.
Yeah, that sounds like a good time to me.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's nicest people, the most welcoming environment, and then they make all their own wines, and they deserve a lot of success, and we're really excited that they chose us to be one of the opening night acts. And but John, I wanted to say thank you too, because you do a lot for all these musicians, and that is really awesome, because it seems nowadays if you're not a big, huge hit, you're a nothing kind of thing in music, no matter what your talent is. So it's just nice that you and people like you take the time and introduce us to the world. So thank you.
Yes, thank you, John, for having us.
Well, it's great having you guys, and you're welcome. And we'll definitely have you back. And we want to just keep up with what's going on, because I want to know all about the trip to Nashville, and we'll definitely have you guys on again. And I really appreciate your time, and I wish you nothing but the best. And if you want to follow him, it's Michael, LATHROP.com. And that's the website, right, guys, to
it's
follow
Micah,
you?
Micah. M-I-C-H.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry about that. And
if I hung my finger and left her a note why it didn't work out, she would correct the spelling. Don't feel bad. It happens to me, too.
Is there anything, guys, you'd like to say that maybe I forgot to mention, or anything you'd like to say in closing?
I'm good. I've said a lot.
Yeah, you have. Just thank you again for having us. All I can really thank
of. Yeah, and thanks for our friends and family all over the place listening tonight. Hopefully there will be a quiz, so they better listen.
Yeah, I could tell you who's listening. So if they say they did, I could check.
I'm gonna quiz her for sure.
Well, thanks, guys. Thank you so much, and I want to thank everyone for listening to Independent Music Showcase and for supporting independent musicians. And I hope everybody has a great evening. And we'll talk to you guys later.
All right. Thanks, John.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Here we are again. But around here there's no such thing as closing time. What a shame. It's still the same as the life you thought you'd left so far behind. And Rosie, you're still trying to win with a smile, though you won't look me in the eye. Does this old man remind you of yourself? Because the boy you never recognized, Rosie, you're only lonely because you wanna be lonely. Rosie, you're only lonely because you wanna be lonely. Those days were much warmer. Now the nights are getting longer. Well, it's cruel how time slips away. I got married to a girl right off the avenue with a ring I bought for you. And Rosie, now that was some years ago, before the flowers turned to gray in your hair, and you danced like only you can dance, and make your way past my lonely chair. Rosie, you're only lonely because you wanna be lonely. Babe, the lights are going out. It's been 20 years trading dimes in this cafe. And Rosie, you don't have to go alone. No, I think you might be on my way. So I just grab my coat and walk you home. If that's okay.
Wait on out till I find somebody there who can take the weight. Way out.
won't be back again.